20 to 6 on ABC Radio Hobart. One of the things about abusive cultures is that anyone who tries to change them or speak out about them gets attacked by them very, very quickly. And Chrissy Green's trying to change a culture in hospitality. I've worked in hospitality and I certainly recognise it. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, Rick.
How would you describe like the existing hospitality culture for training and if you're coming into a kitchen as a new person?
Oh, look, it's still tough. It's still broken. I mean, that's what we've lost, a whole generation of millennials. You know, you were just talking about millennials just before, and everyone's sort of like, especially in hospitality, there's a lot of chefs that seem to be bagging millennials, saying, oh, they don't want to work. They all want to be master chefs because of the television shows, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's true. I think millennials are just smart and then they're really not stupid. You know, my daughter's a millennial. She's amazing. Her friends are amazing. They're very driven, but they're clever and they don't want to go into a shocking working environment where they're poorly paid and badly treated.
What's the culture of a kitchen? Traditionally?
Yeah. Okay. So it's based on the brigade system, which Auguste Escoffier set up in 1835 when he set up the big restaurant in the Savoy Hotel in London. And he based it, of course, being French, on Napoleon's army. And that's why it's called a brigade. And the actual chef's uniform originally is based on the Turkish army uniform, would you believe? That's why,
yeah, right.
It looks, yeah, that's why it looks like it does.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But the whole culture of that is, and it's army culture, is break the boy, make the man. And that's persisted for nearly 200 years, which is tragic, I think, really. I mean, it hasn't moved on. The actual layout of the kitchen as well needs to be different now because all the, you know, I mean, the entire... everything that you used to cook now is different. So nothing's moved on, and this we've sort of dragging this ancient brigade system with us, and this culture that seems, you know, embedded into it, and it's just awful. So we need to change that, like, right now.
So this is this whole Gordon Ramsay, I get to shout at you, yeah, and get up in your face and you've bits of spit because it's like a sergeant major.
Oh, yeah, it's ghastly. Uh-huh. It really is, and it is. It's break the boy, make the man. And that's how he works. I mean, if you really watch it and step back,
yeah,
that's exactly how he works.
Well, it's how they used to train people in acting. You know, we'll break you down and then we'll rebuild you in our image,
yes,
which is so sort of godlike egotistical and genius-based. And there are other ways to teach. So what have you been doing?
So, well, the genesis of all of this was I was a guest at the Fonterra Proud to be a Chef launch over in Melbourne last year, and I was sitting there with a lot of my friends, top chefs in Australia, some of whom I've worked with, and they were all getting up on the microphone and whinging like crazy about the terrible conditions, the awful thing that, you know, being a chef is, you know, and saying, oh, it's the loneliest job in the world, and, you know, and I just sat there and thought, my goodness, This is absolutely true, but what are they doing about it? You know, it's all very well to whinge and whine, but so I came home and I set up Off the Hot Plate, and the slogan is Get Off the Hot Plate, and it's a website that supports chefs in mental health, and we deliver courses that actually change things, because look, you know, the call in lines like Lifeline, fantastic, they're great help, but they don't actually change anything. And I'm a great believer in training and teaching. So having started out as a teacher long before I actually went chefing.
So how does what you do change things?
Okay, so we've got four courses, and our main course that's called the Happy Workplace course was delivered just recently by Graham Gourlay and Gil Sawford, and that was at Industry Link in their mid-year intake of apprentices. And that teaches them skills on how to interact, how to set up rules and ground rules, and how to create a really great functioning workplace, how to have difficult conversations. It's emotional intelligence skills. It's a toolbox, really, that we teach them, that these people, and they're not all kids anymore, you know, there's a lot of mature age entries as well, that they can take with them throughout their working lives.
But it's like you need to get to the head chefs.
Yeah, that's true, but I think some of them are like beyond help, you know, and there still is, as you probably know, there's still this old boys club that works at the top in a lot of the groups in the industry. And for me, that's been really difficult to get cut through. So I'm starting from the other end, really, and saying, look, kids, you know, here's the confidence. Get the confidence before you go in there, so that if a head chef is abusive, you can stand up and say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not accepting that, and there's a better way.
But what happened to me when I was in a kitchen like that and said, well, I'm not up for this, they're like, oh, you just don't fit with this team. Thanks.
Yeah, fine. Go and find one where you do. And they'll learn the hard way because we're so short of staff these days. They actually are starting to wake up. There's 35,000 chef jobs around Australia, just Australia alone, vacant. Because they can't fill them. They're desperate. Mm. On Facebook, you probably see it every day. Mm. They're posting, you know, please, we need a chef here or a cook there. And it's because we have lost this whole generation.
You're listening to Chrissy Green, who is a chef. She's worked in the industry for years and years. She's got a memoir, Theatre of War, The Art of Running a Restaurant, which was the first 9 restaurants she worked at. And her lawyers have told her she can't do the next memoir without turning it into fiction. Mind boggles. I'm not even going to ask you about it, Chrissy, because I don't want to spend the year in court either. But in terms of your training, like, how have you seen people respond differently to what you're doing?
It's been incredible, really. I mean, Industry Link were incredible in taking us on to start with because we were untried, new kid on the block, and it was a completely new concept. And for the first time ever, they had not one dropout in their intake.
What are you doing differently, do you think?
Well, I actually think it's creating, in teaching them these skills, it's creating a cohesive group with the actual training group as well. So it's got this sort of knock-on effect. And, so they're suddenly really supportive of each other. That's something we really noticed, that they actually created this friendship group, which was amazing and very, very supportive.
How does a kitchen run to the standard it needs to meet the demands you need to in a kitchen, then if everyone's like really nice and happy and...
Well, why not?
And take the day off because they're feeling sad.
Well, I don't think we're going that far, but really, I mean, why not? You know, it doesn't have to be cruel and brutal. One of the chefs I interviewed recently, Graham Henderson, who's in Boston, Massachusetts, he nailed it as far as I'm concerned. He actually stated that we've lost this whole generation because of the pirate mentality. And that's the whole problem with the industry, is this buccaneer attitude, you know, like, ho, 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 suck it up, buttercup, we're pirates. You know, we've got tattoos, we're tough, we can survive this and we can survive the pressure. And yes, look, I agree with you, the pressure's massive. You've worked there. It's incredible. But it doesn't have to be brutal. You know, really, I mean, why does it have to be brutal? It's insane because it's so unproductive in the long term. People burn out and crash and burn. That's it.
It's just so great to go, let's look at the history. Who set the structure up? Oh, it's based on an army.
Yeah.
Is that who you are? Because, again, if you're a rebel, well, why are you acting like the military?
Yeah.
It's the most sort of conformist thing you could do.
Yeah, exactly. It is crazy, and the whole industry is crazy, really. And I suppose, you know, everyone says, oh, you have to be a bit crazy to be in there. But I don't think so. I, you know, those days are gone. And there is, yes, the pressure is huge. I mean, these days especially, I think, that there's so many more restaurants. Look, when I opened my first restaurant, Rick, that was in 1977, and I was the first suburban BYO in Brisbane. Mm. You know, I mean, I'd just come back from Melbourne and was abuzz with all these incredible restaurants, that little BYOs that were fabulous and serving great food. And I thought, oh, I can do that.
And everyone opens these businesses out of love, don't they? Of love of food, of love of hospitality, of wanting to welcome people in. And then yet back in the kitchen, it's run on hate.
Yes. Yes.
Scum pig dogs. Hey, welcome, everybody.
Yes, beautiful.
It's not a mentally healthy person, is it, who operates like that.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Oh, you've nailed it exactly. And that's the problem. And that's another thing that I've been really working on. It's part of our course, actually, is creating this beautiful link between back of house and front of house. Mm. Because there's always been that, you know, traditional dehiscence of, you know, like, yes, as you say, we're the buccaneers and they're the bloody, you know, floaters.
The only thing that cheers up the kitchen is abusing the floor staff.
Abusing the floor staff.
Don't be at the bottom of the pecking order. Great to talk to you, Chrissy. If people want to find out more about what you're doing, where are you?
I'm on www.offthehotplate.com. So
great to
just
talk to
have
you
a look.
Morning.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much, Rick.